Hi, you guys. Welcome back to A Purpose Walk with me, Deandra. If you're new here, welcome, welcome, welcome. If you are a returning listener or person who has watched these videos, thank you for coming back and seeing your girl, because we always have a lot to talk about, right? So, you guys, I started my new position as an instructor, and it's been amazing so far, like as far as the teaching and, you know, just giving knowledge that I know about what I am gifted in, right? And it's just been so great to see how the students have been responding so far. It's only been the first week, but it's been really, really great. And one thing that I noticed over the years of walking this walk with Christ, that you are open to be attacked by the enemy. Don't let this scare you, though, because we have Jesus. But it is a possibility, especially when you're doing things that are in alignment with God's will and his purpose for your life. Because last week we talked about purpose, and I touched on, you know, even this position that I received and how it was in alignment with the purpose and plans that God had for my life. So one, I hope that when you listen to it, that you took time in prayer and fasted and see, like, what is it, God, that you want me to be doing with my life? So I need to know. I need to know if our Father, who art in heaven, has given you direction in that area. And if he hasn't, remember, we're praying for wisdom also. So that way we can move into things of God. So this week, I've been talking to the people who attend the Bible study that I hold. And we came up to a point where we were discussing how sometimes our decisions affects those that not are only around us, but, you know, generations. So when you find or even start walking into the things that God has called you to, and even just transforming your life to live a life for Christ, you will more than likely get attacked by the enemy. Why? He wants you to stay right where you are, bound, and going to hell where he'll be visiting you. That's what he wants. But the whole idea is that we all want to get to heaven. Well, I hope that's the idea, but we all want to get to heaven. And how we do that is to get closer to Jesus, to really start walking the life that he has for us. And, you know, just doing all the things, right? So we got into this discussion about how things could happen and you're trying to be on the right path. So we're in John right now. And the lady who was an adulterer was brought forth in front of all these people. And essentially, because she was an adulterer, they were like, well, Jesus, what should we do with her? Because they were getting ready to stone her. If you were, according to the law, that if you were an adulterer, so one who is having relations outside of marriage, when you're married, that you will be stoned to death. Jesus is like, he who without sin, go ahead, throw a stone at her. So, you know, now the people is thinking, and then one by one, they started dropping their stones and started walking away because they all had sin. So what that shows us is that sin is sin, period. Okay. So just because she did this and she sinned in this way, you know, now you're trying to kill her. Sin is sin. So he also said, okay, well, I'm not going to do that to you either. However, turn away from your sin basically repent and don't do it again. Live a life of righteousness. And he let her go on. And I was like, this is a profound moment because we all have sin in our life. And it's just as simple as asking for forgiveness, repenting, and then turning away from it. And now we are able to live, you know, because even though you may not die physically, you can die spiritually. I don't know what's worse. I think spiritually, dying spiritually is worse because it's like when you die physically, now where does your spirit go, right? I want to go to heaven. So the idea is to sin no more. And it made me think about even what I'm reading in Joshua, how this one guy literally, and I believe I shared this with you guys, that he went against God's command when they were, you know, taking over this town or village or whatnot. And he said, collect everything and to do X, Y, Z with the stuff that you receive. Instead of doing what he was supposed to, this man took like a nice garment. He took gold. He took a few things, right? And then hit it. And then when they went to go fight somebody, they lost. And Joshua like, well, what happened? And in prayer, God revealed, like, you know, there's someone among you who went against my command. So now they got to figure out who did it, you know? So he separated, you know, the different tribes, and then from tribe to, like, you know, all these different groups, and then from groups to families, and then, you know, now for families to the person. And they figured out who he was. And as a punishment, he got stoned and burned. And not just him, but they gathered all his children, cattle, everything that belonged to him, and got rid of it, burned it all up. And it made me think about how one choice can affect everyone around you, even your children. Like, not only did he have to die, but his kids had to die too. So we're going to be touching on, like, you know, when the enemy is trying to tempt you, because clearly that's what it was, right? The enemy tempted him to go grab these things, right? So he had covetousness. I think I said it right. Now, this is not a Hebrew word, because yeah, I remember last week trying to figure out how to pronounce these words. Yeah. But yeah, so, you know, he truly desired, he saw something and was like, oh, I really, really want that. And then went and grabbed it, you know? So one, that's a sin too. God don't want us to desire something so much that we have to have it. You know, cause now we're opening ourselves up to, you know, jealousy and all that envy and, pride, all of the things that come along with it. And now it's like everyone is affected. So can you really see how even one thing can transfer down? So instead of allowing it to transfer down, he killed everyone. He killed everyone. So now I'm like, dang, God, you're so gracious, because I remember on my journey, me trying to walk out the things that I realized that was keeping me bound. But even looking back at past generations, how these things were also, they were dealing with it too. And for instance, just as an example, you know, unfortunately, my family was in poverty, and I'm talking about generations past. And, you know, it just kept going from generation to generation because nobody really sought to gain more knowledge or to want to do better. I mean, doing better in a sense of wanting to gain a college education, so that can create better opportunities. Nowadays, it's not, you don't have to get better opportunities just from, you know, going to college. But back then that was very serious. So, you know, now my mom decided to do different and she moved up to New York from South Carolina and went to school and kept constantly going to school because she knew her ultimate goal was to be a nurse. And now, hence cutting that generational barrier of, you know, poverty. However, poverty mindset was still there. So now her kids had to deal with that. And, you know, now that's something that, and I'm not saying like now, but that's something that I'm breaking. And now I'm teaching even my son on how to manage money. So you can see how things just get passed down. And that's just something really light. Like there's other examples that I can think of where, you know, it's a little bit more serious that can be passed down. But someone shared that, you know, her grandmother was very evil. And I'm like, that's kind of crazy. You know, just to call your grandma evil, but she was like, she just really, really mean, but she's a woman of God. And that made me think, well, if you're a woman of God, so you go to church, is it the goal to be more Christ-like? Because when you allow him to purge the old, you become a new creature per the word. And, you know, now you're bearing the fruits of the Spirit. So at some point, that didn't happen. And now she's still the same, but still go to church every day or every week and no longer not being transformed. But now it passed down to her daughter. And then now it's down to her daughter's daughter. And now she has a daughter too. So it's like, you know, at one point will somebody break this generational curse or barrier that keeps going from generation to generation? So my idea was, okay, it's clear that the enemy tempts, like he even tempted Jesus. And, you know, we know how that went. It didn't work. Because Jesus is that man. But yeah, you know, even Jesus was tempted. So are we not exempt from temptation? No. But how do we recognize it? So one, we need to figure out like what's the cycles in our life. So the cycles are the things that literally the enemy would tempt in front of you to get you off track with connecting to your Father. So one thing that I shared, and you guys know this because we talked about it, is sexual immorality. But one of my struggle points was just lust in general and how the enemy would tempt me. Like, I'll be so good. I'm like transforming my life. I'm reading my word. I'm praying. I'm listening to gospel music. I'm at church every Sunday. Like, I am walking this thing out. I am applying it to my life and I am being transformed. But then there comes a time where I get a little lax on my journey, or did get a little lax on my journey. And now I skip a day or two. Now I started listening to R&B because I missed that song, or some neo soul. And some of the stuff that I was listening to, you know, Don Toliver was my guy, but that is the stuff he be talking about. You know what I'm saying? Like, just these different artists that you miss. Sir, come on. I have not listened to these people in so long because I already know. I already know what time it is. But anyway, so, you know, now I'm not feeding my spirit the correct things. And here comes a guy. And I was this type of person who would go backwards. So... because I don't like inviting new people into my space. So now here comes a guy totally forgot about, wasn't checking for him. Oh, hey, how you doing? And here we are. And I'm like, you know, I'm living for Jesus. I'm not having sex and all of this. And after a while, guess what I end up doing? Doing the same thing I said I wasn't doing. Why? Because I did not have on my armor of God. Do you hear me? This is why it's so important to stay prayed up, to stay in your word, to stay as close to God as possible, to keep your, and to wear your armor every day. Because without it, now you don't have the shield that protects you from the fiery darts of the evil one. Okay. And now you getting burned up. And now you back in the sin and you back in this cycle and you got to climb, literally climb yourself back out of it. And then what does that do? That leaves the people around me susceptible to anything, right? Because I am the one in line to really live and walk this walk for Jesus. So now my kid is catching darts. Now say, and I'm just saying it as an example, say the people who in the Bible study catching darts, my family catching darts, the people that I talk to and help on a daily basis with their walk, they're catching darts. Why? Because I'm the head at this point and I'm the one who's helping them to walk into Christ. Now, am I experiencing this? No, because I am boarded. But like I said, as an example, this is the reality of what happens. So now my homework for them is to figure out the areas that the enemy likes to attack you in, because again, it's a cycle. He's not that cunning. He uses the same things over and over. And you know what? They're kind of good because they follow you from childhood. Now, and these things been around for thousands of years. So they not only watching you, they watch your whole family. So if they can get you in the same things that they dealt with, the cycle is never broken. So even y'all, I admonish you to look in the areas that the enemy messes with you to try to keep you off track on your journey. So as I share for me, lust was one, family was another. So that would show up like arguments, little issues here and there. So I'd be on guard with that. With the lust, I'm on guard with that. My money, because you remember I told y'all, the finances, the poverty is something that my family has dealt with. So that's another thing that he messes with me with. And can't think of everything at the moment. I have this, which I used to create a prayer board, which is something I highly recommend. So once you figure out the areas that the devil tempts you in or areas that you struggle in, research scripture that will help you to fight against that. And I'm going to give you guys some today, but I don't want you to go into a spiritual death. I want you to fight. Fight for your spirit. Fight for your soul. Where are you leaving? What are you leaving? What are you leaving the next generations? Do you really want them to deal with what you dealt with? Even if you don't have kids directly, what if it affects your nieces and nephews? Little bloodline. So fight the good fight. Fight for your life. Fight for your death. Ooh. Fight for your death. Because where are you going when you leave here? Yes. I was teaching a class. And after doing the Bible study and talk about all this good stuff, everybody felt really great. They like, you know, this Bible study was really, really good. I have my Bible studies on Monday. Tuesday, I go to work. And I like to play a little jazz. And I just love music in general. But I'm playing jazz. Y'all would not believe what happened. So I'm playing the jazz. And I don't even think we were doing discussion at this time. No, we were doing a discussion. You guys, why the ad that ended up playing a few times in between the music was something way inappropriate that has to deal with lust. Right afterwards. So now, like, the devil really tried it. Like, this is not even the space for you to even be doing this. This is kind of crazy. So now what you got to do? Go into prayer. You know, we cast down wicked and vain imaginations. Because what's going to happen is, now what he's trying to do is get me back into the same flow. It's too much on the line for me to even fall back into that. So I'm putting on my armor, even though I have it. You know what I mean? But now I got to put that shield up. So after I did what I had to do, going to pray and cast that down, guess what happened? I ain't hear not one more thing like that the very next day. Take it seriously, because he is serious about taking your life. So take being with Jesus very seriously, because he don't care nothing about you. And I'm not talking about Jesus. No, Jesus loves you very, very much. That's why he doesn't want us to go to hell. And this is why he gives us all of these resources, even his own life, for us to live for eternity. So you guys, please do the prayer board. Put everything on it. Put it where you can see it every day. Take a picture of it. So when you're out and about, just if he want to try you, you got the word right there. I use the Bible app and I put in the thing for in Discover. I put in, say, I will put in lust, and then it'll give me a whole bunch of scriptures on lust. And I will pick out certain ones that, you know, I would use to pray against the enemy in these times. And that's how I learned a lot of scripture. Because I'm fighting for my life. I'm fighting for my death. Nobody talks about that. So I'm going to give you some of these scriptures. So in times of weakness, like when you feel like you're getting close to stepping into this temptation, pray up and keep yourself as far away from it as possible. Get with your community. Pray with them together. Tell them to keep you in prayer as well. Don't be ashamed. There were many times where I did not call on my community, and because I knew that I wanted to do what I wanted to do, and I was going to do it. But as I continued to grow and mature and learn, I realized, no, God gave me this community for a reason, and they're not judging me. And I will tell them, and they will help me through it. So in times of weakness, in Romans chapter 8, verse 31 says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" So be encouraged, okay? Because the enemy ain't got nothing on you when you got your word, which is the sword of the spirit, which is a part of your armor, okay? And then in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." In 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 7 says, "But you take courage, don't let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." God got something for you once you make it out, trust me. And then in Psalm chapter 119, verse 11 says, "I have stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you." So that's how you don't fall into sin. Read your word, read the Bible, and it goes in your heart. So when you think you're not retaining the information, trust me, it's going in there. He'll surprise you. He surprised me when I was talking to somebody and I was like, I don't know how to read scripture or understand it. Then I started understanding. And then I'm like, I don't remember scripture. And before I know it, I'm quoting scripture. And it just started flowing out my mouth. And I thought I did not remember it at all, but it started to come out. And that gave me confidence knowing that I'm on the right path. And even this word is saying it. I stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So it's in there. Just keep reading. And then also, I titled this the fight, because I need that sword of the spirit, because I'm ready at all times. Okay? And I want you to be ready at all times. So one thing I want you to know is that you're going to go through things, and it's okay. But how are we going to allow it to affect our lives? You feel me? But Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Right? So we're going to go through things, but we use the sword of the spirit to fight against the things that we may go through, but to also encourage us as we're going through these things. We're not omit from not going through things. Even Jesus went through things up into the cross. One of my favorite scriptures that I used, especially when it came to lust, is James chapter 4, verse 7. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Also, in Malachi chapter 3, verse 11, it says, I will rebuke the devourer for you. He will rebuke the devil for you. Come on. So that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Everything that you do as it pertains to Christ will bear fruit. So your spirit man will start to change. You will begin to change, and you will start looking different. Trust me, I've seen it over and over where you look dead before, like spiritually dead. But once Jesus start entering into your heart and into your life, you begin to transform and you look completely different. So be encouraged. Yes, this one is about the fight, right? The fight of fighting for your death. But it's not impossible, and it's well worth it. God has you. He will protect you. But you also have to protect yourself by reading his word. I cannot stress that enough. And using that word against the devil in your life. So I'm going to pray with you. As you know, it's what we do. All right. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for your son and your daughter. One, knowing that they have enough strength in them to fight this fight. That the enemy does not have stronghold over them that they cannot come out of, that the enemy doesn't have much things over them that they cannot achieve, because they can achieve many and great things through you in Christ Jesus. So I thank you for even giving us your son to die on the cross for us, that if we sin, we can go to him in repentance, and then it's done, that it is finished. So I thank you, Jesus, for what you have done for us. I thank you that they take their walk seriously, that they will not continue to push you aside, that they will want to get closer to you, that they will want to do that by reading your word and in prayer and fasting. So Lord, I pray that you will help them to guide them on their journey, that you will also send people in their way to help them on their journeys, Lord, that they are not here to do this alone, that you create a community for each and every one of us. Although that there may be periods where we have to be alone just to get rid of some things, Lord, and I thank you for those solitude seasons, not of separation, but just of solitude, just where you and us, but Lord, I thank you for the community that you are sending to them, Lord. May they not be fearful and may they not be weary, but may they stand strong in you. And even if they feel weak, that they have you to be strong for them, that they will be able to take everything that they are laying and holding onto and lay it at your feet, Father. So I thank you that you're going to help them on this journey. And I know that you love them and I love them as well. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So you guys, we'll be here every Thursday. So make sure you like, share, subscribe, download, and tell people about what we got going on in here. I can't wait to hear the testimonies of what God is doing in your life. And I love you so, so much. And I'll see you next week, all right?